Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I'm just going to invite the panelists up straight away. Pastor Sam is actually away this morning. He's speaking up at a church in Barrie called Mapleview Church. And he spoke to me this morning and he was saying that he misses the church incredibly. He said he missed me in one line and then went on and on about how much he missed being at church this morning. And I was like, okay, I see where it's at. You really love our church. So guys, know that you're incredibly loved, maybe more than he loves me, but I'm sure that's not actually true. But he's really sad that he couldn't be here today, but what the panelists have to share is definitely going to be helpful in your lives. We've been in a series called Communion, and it's all about how to walk with God. And there's been some incredible messages spoken so far, but we really felt like we wanted to bring something that was practical and tangible to you today. We can sometimes get caught up in the spiritualness of a message and not know how to actually apply it in our lives. And so we wanted to do this panel today with some regular people that aren't so regular, I think they're pretty incredible, but hopefully they can speak to your life. Because a relationship with God, there's really no right way to do it or a wrong way to do it. It's just start a relationship with Him. So hopefully these guys will be able to give you some advice that will help you today. So I'm really glad that you're here. I'm going to introduce the panelists because you might recognize them or you might not. So over here we have Pastor Greg. Why don't everybody give Pastor Greg a hand?
Yo.
Yeah. We're going to have a little bit of fun today, hopefully, okay?
No.
So, like, get into it. Enjoy this with us. We're not just going to chat with you. We are going to chat with you. We don't want to talk to you. We want you to, like, feedback back with us. So I was thinking about how to describe each of our panelists because I wanted to make sure I did it justice and you could see a side of their lives that I see. And the word for Greg was consistent.
It was good looking, right?
What?
It was good looking, right?
Yeah, it was. Maybe that would be what Vanessa would say, but you're all right, Greg. You're all right. But it's consistent. Hey, I only have eyes for one man. Don't you boo me right now. Maybe two. I have eyes for Noah as well. He's a little sweetheart. But consistency is like what Greg is. We've journeyed with him and his wife for about 8 years in ministry now. And he just, I don't know if he's ever had a bad day. I think I can count like a couple of times that he's maybe been in a bad mood and he's already left that mood like an hour later. Like he's just quick. He's consistent. He's like Jesus. He's like the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can all learn a lot from Greg because I feel like I can fluctuate a lot, but he's consistent and I really admire that in him. And then we have Amanda here. Amanda is our worship director. Cheer Amanda. She deserves it. And the word that I felt for Amanda was committed. Amanda is the most committed person I think I've ever met. She has had every opportunity to say no to something or to bail out of things or to just say, you know what, it's too hard. But I've watched her journey for probably about 9 years now, and she just always says yes, always steps forward. If you had known who she was 9 years ago, you probably wouldn't have, because she was hiding on the back of a stage in a church, just serving her heart out, not singing, not directing anybody, just serving. And she just keeps saying yes, and God keeps elevating her, and she's the most committed person I know. I love Amanda. I have a very, very soft spot in my heart for Amanda. And then Drew here, why don't you guys give Drew a hand? Drew is amazing. He gets an almost C word. His almost C word is uncomplicated. So he is uncomplicated. He's 17, which, I mean, you wouldn't tell because he's like mature as, right? No? Yes. But he's carefree, and he's been on the team serving behind, he's in keys, like you might have seen him rocking out behind the keyboard up there. He's been doing that for the last 2 years. So if you do the math, he joined the team when he was 15. So there's like no reason why you could ever disqualify yourself from serving or doing what God wants you to do. Because you could say you're too young or you're too old or you're too this or that, but Drew's just like, ah, whatever. Like, I can play keys and I want to serve Jesus and I'm 15. Sweet, I'm going to do it. And he's just incredibly uncomplicated, way more than I was as a teenager. I was complicated, but you're not. And he dropped some real great truth bombs on us this morning in the panel. So I'm really excited to hear what he has to say. But cool, those are our panelists. Are you guys excited? Yeah, they've got a lot to offer. So I'm really excited.
They all start with C, too. C3.
That's
except
true.
One of them needs you. C3 Church needs you.
Oh, that's a good one. Good one, Pastor Greg.
I'm sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry. We love that. So we compiled a few questions, which are like, I guess, frequent questions that we find we get asked. So hopefully one of these questions might be on your lips and you might get your answer today. But I'm just going to ask some of the panelists what they think about certain things and just kind of see where we go. Cool? Cool. All right. So we've been talking about God's voice and how to walk with God and everything. The first question that I wanted to ask you guys then is, what does God's voice sound like to you and how do you hear him speak in your lives? Greg, do you want to go first?
Greg. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't sound like that really. I think that's... So for me, I've been Christian for 10 years, and in my 10 years of following God, I have never had the experience yet of having the audible voice, like a booming voice from heaven, come down and say, Greg, this is what I need you to do.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I haven't heard God's voice. I feel mm-hmm. like God uses relationships around us to speak.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
For me, like his voice might sound like Pastor Sam sometimes because I've right. chosen to submit myself to a leader. And so I go to him with questions and he tells me what to do. Mm-hmm. Very often it sounds like my wife, Vanessa. She's like the voice of the Lord for probably half the church as well, Pastor Vanessa. But maybe it'll sound like my own voice sometimes. It's that initial thought that like comes out of nowhere that I wasn't even thinking about this person, and all of a sudden I hear my own voice say, "Hey, you should text that person." I feel like that's God speaking.
Yeah,
so he uses relationships, he uses the word. That's kind of for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about you, Drew? What does God's voice sound like to you?
I guess for me, God's voice is just. It's just calming, and it just, when he speaks to me, it's like a sense of peace. Like I know, at times, especially like when I don't do like the greatest on tests or in school in general, I would just get down on myself and just tell me, just say things like that I wasn't good enough or you're not smart enough and you can't do this or whatever. But,
right.
God's voice would just tell me, the complete opposite of what I was saying. He was just saying, you are smart enough, you can do this, and yeah.
I love that, yeah. So quite often we think that those negative voices against us that are telling us we're not good enough is God, but the truth is it's not. That's ourselves. God actually believes in us and actually speaks truth into our lives. And so I love that, yeah, that he speaks truth into you when you feel those moments. So Amanda then... how did you learn to figure out what God's voice was to you? So there was probably a time when you didn't recognize it. How did you learn to recognize it?
Yeah. Well, I grew up a Christian my whole life, so I'd been in church my whole life. But I don't think I actually started to understand or hear God's voice until I took my relationship with God to as my own. So I think I floated through life for a while under my parents' beliefs. And then when I made a decision to actually search God out for myself, I began to understand that, oh, he does speak. But for me, it actually was pretty recent. It was like 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago now that it really established how I hear God's voice. And I went through a year where a lot of my close friends, I bounce ideas off people. I'm like, I just want to like be confirmed that it's a good idea. Super insecure, I know.
We all do it.
but within the course of a few months, you know, 8 or eight or more of my close friends had moved away, and I didn't really have anyone to bounce things off that I trusted. So I had to really solidify my relationship with God. And through that year, I prayed, God, I want to know your voice. I want to know my voice, and I want to know the voice of the world or the voice of the enemy. Awesome. And I prayed it consistently for about a year. And it's not like I had like aha moments where it was like, oh, but Jesus is a teacher. So he wants to teach us things. And so as I journeyed on it, I just began to understand, okay, God's voice might sound more like Drew said, calm, still, you know, the voice of my own is usually just completely irrational. And the voice of the world usually contradicts the still voice, I think.
Yeah, that's
in your
good.
Head.
Yeah. Quite often it contradicts what the world is telling you to do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that came out of a moment of, I guess, pain or despair for you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely was crying out for God, because I would use, like Pastor Greg had said, people for him to speak into me and through, like, people. But I had to figure out how to do it then all of a sudden without people, too.
Right. Yeah. And I love that you said it wasn't instant. It wasn't like you're in a painful moment, you cried out, and then all of a sudden you recognized his voice. It was a journey from there. Yeah, that's cool. If you're in a moment of pain right now, maybe it's like the perfect place to start a relationship with Jesus and get to know what his voice sounds like. That's really cool. So what does your prayer life, like, let's get really tangible. What does your prayer life actually look like on a daily? Drew, do you want to go first?
I guess the way I try to set time aside in the morning to pray, just to get like my day started. So like it prepares like the whole day. Yeah, I pray at night as well, but like
that's good. So you set aside some discipline time.
I just struggle with setting that time aside, especially early in the morning. It's hard to get out of bed.
And then is that the only time you pray during the day, or is there like moments
Most of the time always like thank God for a lot of the things that he's done, I guess. Also in the bad times, especially during like exam season, because not the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, too stressful. Other than exam times, I guess it's kind of hard for me to always be praying to God in those, I guess, rough times.
Right. Well, that's really good, because we can forget that it's actually kind of hard sometimes, and we can think that the people up on stage just have it all together, and for some reason they can figure out a prayer life and we can't. And so I like that you're sharing that there's actually times where it's really hard, because that's actually one of my questions. And I wanted to ask Pastor Greg and Amanda too, what do you think is a struggle with prayer? Like, what is the stuff that we don't, I guess, maybe talk about as much?
I mean, Drew touched on it. I struggle with like getting up in the morning, to be like really practical. I'm not a morning person. I'm not a quick waker upper, let's say. But I think too, we go through seasons where, you know, we don't hear God's voice, or we feel like we don't hear God's voice. And I think he's in those seasons, he's kind of deepening our trust or trying to stretch how much we trust him. But I also think God's so vast and so big. And once we realize how high he is, then, oh, it's like a journey of how wide he is. And once we realize how wide he is, it's like, oh, how deep he is. So I think he also is trying to like teach us that that's not the only way we can hear his voice. That's not the only way we can come to him in prayer. I kind of forget the beginning of the question, but
I was just saying, what the struggle is, but that's awesome. Like you're saying, through the struggle, you actually go in deeper to learning him, because you're not maybe hearing his voice straight away. So you're really seeking it out, and you get to see a side of him you maybe haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. That's cool. What do you struggle with in your prayer life, Greg?
Nothing. No, nothing at all.
Perfection.
I'm kidding. That's a joke, guys. Everyone's like, who is this guy? Oh, we're allowed to make jokes in church, guys. Should church be fun, right?
It's true. Should be.
No, for me, I think the biggest struggle with prayer is when I'm in prayer and I don't, like, feel God. And it's like, I know that I need to continue. I know that I need to press in. And this could be, like, I've had entire seasons of this where it's like months where I get a sense that God's just trying to build something in me. And maybe it's trust. Maybe it's like a knowing that he's there. But I don't, like, I come out of an hour of prayer time in the morning, or I come out of listening to worship, and I'm like, God, did you even show up in that? Like, the Bible says effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man would avail much. But what did I avail in that time? And for me, that's the biggest struggle, is when I'm in it and I'm not convinced from everything of the outside circumstances that what I'm doing is actually effective and it actually matters. But I know that I just need to continue pressing in.
That's awesome. We live in such a results-driven culture where we want to do something and see a result straight away, and it's totally not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works in stretching us and growing us, and like that's just so true. The amount of prayer times that I've had where I'm like, Jesus, where are you? Like, I am not feeling this at all, and I feel discouragement because I don't get the results straight away. But what I can look back on now, after being a Christian for 20-something years, I can see that those are the times where I'm being stretched so that then I can actually have results later. And so I think, don't get discouraged or think that you're not feeling Jesus in those moments. Keep pressing in and keep building, and then see how your prayer life just gets even more amazing months from there. And another thing that we hear a bit with struggles with prayer life is people comparing themselves to maybe other people that they hear. They may hear, you know, Amanda say, well, I wake up in the morning, and but the fact is that she's not a morning person. She does push through and do that. But we compare ourselves and think, oh, well, I can't do that. And then we disqualify ourselves. And I think just start small. Just do something that's a small win that you can be really proud of and encouraged with, and keep going. Don't think that you have to have some mighty 3-hour-a-day prayer life from the get-go. Like, Jesus isn't expecting that. He's expecting just you to start a relationship with him, and that's really all he wants. So I find that that's a big struggle for a lot of people, and they just disqualify themselves. So what about the Bible then? So we've touched on prayer. Now, we as a church believe that the Bible is, you know, the written word of God. What does reading your Bible look like to you guys? Do you want to go first, Drew, maybe?
I guess how I start reading the Bible is, if I don't know where to start, I would ask people that I look up to and just, like, ask them what book they're reading, or what's their most favorite, I guess, or what they would suggest for me as a teenager, I guess. And then from there, I would try to read a chapter a day. But if a chapter in the morning, and then I try to like meditate that throughout the day, and hopefully I'd grab like at least like 2 or 3 memory verses, take it down, write it down, and just really meditate throughout the day.
So good. He like touched on like 3 gold points there. He just brushed over them like they were nothing. He went to his leaders and people he looked up to and asked them what they read, which I think is amazing. Just get on the same page as what the people you look up to are reading. This book can be really daunting at times. There's like genealogies in there and stuff, which can make no sense. So asking around can really help where you start. And then you said like trying to memorize it is like key as well. And then what was the other thing you said that was gold? Meditating on it. That's it. There you go, other people. He said how he reads it in the morning and then like will keep thinking about it during the day. And we talk about like meditating on the word, and that can be really confusing sometimes. But basically that's it. It's reading something and letting your thoughts, like you think through it through the day, and then you come across situations where you're like, oh, this makes sense because of this that I read this morning. And that's like what we encourage. So I love that. Uncomplicated from the mouth of like, I love it. Brings you back to the basics. So Amanda then, what does reading your Bible look like to you?
Yeah, I definitely go into it with a prayer. So I always ask God to speak to me before I read the Bible, because I don't want to just read it. I'm actually a terrible reader. And I said in the first service, they would have created like fidget spinners when I was a kid. I'd be like, I think I'd be way more focused, like way, because I just had a conversation backstage with Josh Ray, and he said like 4 full sentences, and then I realized he needed a response from me at the end, and I looked at him and was like, I didn't hear a thing that you just said because I was distracted.
That's awesome. So we're going to hand out fidget spinners at the end if you need those.
If I'm like tapping or something, it's because it like helps me focus. But no, I think, yeah, I start with a prayer because I can get really distracted. And yeah, I think if you open your Bible expectant and approach the Word of God expectant to receive something, it postures yourself in a different way. It's the same thing with worship. God, you're more prone to hear God's voice. He's always speaking regardless of you, like, snapping into it or not. But you are able to quiet kind of yourself and come into, it says to enter the throne room boldly. So you enter reading your Bible boldly, expectantly that he's going to speak to you. And usually for me, like, he speaks to me quickly. Like, it doesn't, I'm not reading because I think because he knows I'd get distracted.
Gotta give this girl the gold.
Yeah,
quick.
Just give it to her.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that, an expectant position. It's good. And what about you, Greg? What does reading your Bible look like for you?
So for me, it's kind of, I feel like I go through seasons of like, I might stay in one book for like an entire, like the book of Ephesians, I just spent a whole month just, it's 6 chapters, but I felt like there's so much in there for me. So it's not like I have to get through this many pages and this many words in a day. I just like Amanda said, you start with a prayer saying, Lord, like highlight something to me. And then I find words will jump out of the page. And then it's like, jot it down or highlight it or remember it. Also, one big thing for me is like, as Drew said, memory verses. Like I'll stick different. In spots around my office, I have little pastes of different Bible verses that I want to remind myself because I feel like it's important and it's helpful. Like the Bible, God didn't give it to us just so we could like get to know what it is, but he gave it to us as like a tool for our lives. That's so when we see reminders of different scriptures, I can speak them over seasons. Like Philippians 4:6 is all about anxiety and the peace of God. And so when I'm facing anxious situations at work, I look over and I'm like, oh yeah, Philippians 4:6, here we go. Just remind myself.
And for the record, Greg doesn't work at the church either. Greg works in construction. So he's at a construction job during the day with Bible verses around, and he's like declaring the Bible over his life before he goes into meetings with construction guys and stuff. So this is tangible for every area of your life. This isn't just if you're in the church. You need this no matter what industry you're in. So I love that you're a great example of that, Greg. With all those burly construction guys, you just bring Jesus in there.
Yeah, I just have it in code, though, because it's like...
In code.
E43.
It's all right. Be stealthy with it. It's good. So then my question would be, there's the discipline of like reading your word, and we're told that it's a good thing, but why is it such an important part of your lives? Why do you do it?
I mean, for me, I kind of already touched on it, but it's so helpful. It's like, I feel like within this 66 chapters, there's every answer to every question that I could possibly have. Mm-hmm. And it's like any season that I'm going through, there's a truth that's somewhere in the Bible that will speak to what I'm going through. And so, like, I'll continue to search it out in everything that I'm going through because I know that there is something in there that I need. In everything I'm going through, God has an answer for it. And that answer is not going to be found in a relationship. That answer is not going to be found in like a self-help book. It's going to be found in his word. So I love the process of searching it out, because it's like when you've dug something up and you've mined a piece of gold yourself, that stays with you for the rest of your life, I feel like.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I love that this Bible was written thousands of years ago and has truths in it that actually help us today in like a meeting that we're about to go into or a relationship that we're in. It's pretty incredible. And I think you mentioned earlier, I'm not sure if it was in this service or first service, where with the prayer life and everything like that, and how does God speak to you? One of the ways that he speaks to us is through the word. Like, it doesn't even mean an audible voice or even a friend or whatever it is. It can be actually spoken through what you read, which is really incredible. So, Amanda, why do you read your word?
I think same as Pastor Greg here, it equips you for the call that's on your life, I think. Like, sometimes we want to hear, like, an audible voice from God, and we cry out, and we're like, God, would you just, like, tell me the answers? Would you tell me the answers? But the truth is, he's already told you them. Like, he's told us all the answers, and they're in the Bible. So we necessarily, like, we don't need a, like, fresh word from God that way when we can just read the Bible.
That's good.
So I think, I do it for that because it equips me to keep walking and to continue to be committed, because sometimes you need a verse before you walk into something. And also, I've come into times where I've read the Bible and a verse has stuck out to me, and I just have been like, oh, that's interesting, and I'll like jot it down and remember it, and later that day I'll come in contact with someone that's facing that, and maybe that's
so
a verse
good.
That they need. I think God works that way too, so he's so gracious in how he moves.
Yeah, that it's not just for you. Yeah. You can actually be reading something that can help somebody else. That's amazing. That's key. That's really key. So worship as well. Worship is something that is hugely important within our church and within our lives. What does worship mean to you? I actually think I want to ask Drew first, because you're on the worship team and you joined when you were 15, so there's obviously some sort of importance with it. What does worship mean to you, and what does it look like in your life?
It can come from, I guess, many forms, because it's not just playing keys for the church, I guess. It's, following what God's telling you to do, or offering is also another big one. Giving, especially just like following the call that God has put on your life, and just knowing that vision, and just knowing what to do to stay on that path, I guess.
So good. So worship to you is basically putting God first in every area.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love that. We can see worship as just being this like musical thing that happens on stage, and we don't really engage in it, but it's so much more than that, and I love that. It's putting God first in every area. And you said, like, offering yourself, like, being generous, right?
Yeah. Giving.
Yeah. Giving money, giving of yourself, giving of your time. It's amazing. Amanda, why don't you drop some truth bombs as well on worship? We've just had some, but what's worship to you?
Yeah, worship is a lifestyle. So I think we actually put God in a box when we see worship as what just happened on stage here, just as that. We've limited the power that worship actually gives us. But anyone on my worship team would know that I'm like crazy about this Bible passage, chapters, Romans 12. And I talk about it all the time. It says, give yourself as a living, holy sacrifice to the Lord that is pleasing. And that is what is actually true worship. So worship, in a sense, should kind of be sacrifice. So it's Drew was saying, it's giving of your time, it's giving of your treasures, it's giving of your talents. It's coming in early to like care about the carpet placement, to care if things are centered. It's being nice to your friends, like you're treating God's children like how he would want them to be treated. That's also worship too, because you're not tainting I think when you approach things that God has entrusted you with respect and honor that is due, that's essentially worship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so good. So how would somebody, talk to me about the importance of actual, so there's worship in general and then the specific form of worship in music as well. How does somebody incorporate that in their life, and what does that like have power, or I don't know, talk about that as
yeah
well.
Definitely. I just love music in general, so like most music except for like really intense screaming music, because it freaks me out a little bit. I actually don't really scream ever, so when someone's doing it to me I just get uncomfortable. But Yeah, so I love music, but I've noticed if I don't weigh heavier on worship music in my life, so that what's going in, that I actually begin to see the negatives a lot quicker. Because what worship does is it takes your focus off of you and it puts it on God.
Yeah, it's so good.
So if we don't have a constant flow of worship, whether it be music or not, our view, because we're human and we have a natural fallen nature, just comes back to on us, and we see, oh, how terrible our situation is. Oh, man, work is really boring, and I'm like going crazy, or like whatever. Right. But when we worship, it lifts the perspective up to God, and we begin to see the purpose and the call and the drive that He's placed in us.
Yeah, that's awesome. It takes you from a victim place to a victorious place. Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I know for me, you read stories in the Bible about a lot of the different wars that were going on and warfare that happened. And in almost every situation, the musicians and the singers all went first. And there was this like warfare side of music, I guess. And I think we've, as a society, music has become just something that we enjoy. But music, I think, was actually created to cause a sound which would change something, and it changes atmospheres. And so you notice it. With Amanda even said she can't listen to the screaming music because it just makes her feel ugh. And it's true. Music brings atmosphere and it changes circumstances in our lives. And I actually don't think we've begun to even explore the full power of what sound does and sound waves. It actually breaks things. And so I believe that worship in our lives in the music form is super important, and we can forget that. So I'm a firm believer in like making sure there's worship music in our house, making sure there's just the declaration that God is bigger than my circumstance in every area of my life. So through music, through the word, everything that I am putting out there, I am using, like, fighting towards a better life and a better situation, everything. So I think music is really, really key in that. Greg, you're not a musician, so do you have a revelation on worship as well? Because a lot of us aren't musicians, and so it's harder for us to see the importance of it.
I do, but before I get into it, I just want to throw this out there. Screamo music is not unholy, okay? There was a season in my life, even as a follower of Christ, that
there's
I listened
Christian
to those.
Music,
there's
right?
Christian screamo
there is,
music.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not all angry.
Maybe
okay,
some
guys?
Of the warfare would have been screaming.
Yeah, I'm sure they're screaming for Jesus, right? So to all my screamo emo kids, you're all right. Don't worry. but I... Exactly as Amanda was saying, I think worship to me is it's a lifestyle. It's more than just music. I'm not being musically inclined. I still love listening to music, and I love listening to worship music. And I feel like the declaration that's in, like, becoming a Christian, I avoided it. I was like, oh, that's weird, like lame music. I don't want to listen to that. I'm going to listen to like this hip hop.
That's
and this,
a fair comment. A lot of people feel
this,
that.
Yeah. But then when I actually started to digest the words that they were saying and allow it to like sit on my soul, I was like, wow, this is actually super powerful. And it changes. It starts to become a declaration. So I love music and worship, but it's more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's a decision. It's a following after day to day.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're talking in this whole series, I guess, about how to walk with God, and we've touched on a few kind of areas with prayer and with the word and with worship, but let's break it down to make it a little bit more tangible for everybody. What does walking with God actually look like for you on a daily basis, and how would you, I guess, help people walk with Jesus better? Why don't, Drew, you can start.
Well, I guess with that, knowing that you're a representative of God, I guess, you have to be just sort of aware of what you're doing. I guess with this, it just brings me back to like knowing vision, having vision, just knowing that you have a purpose that God put upon you, and that you just have to do what He tells you, and just listen to that so that you can get to that point, I guess.
That's amazing. Just listen to God, walk every step out knowing that you have a purpose and a calling and knowing that it affects other people. That's it. That's like so true. That's walking with Jesus. It's selfless. It's focusing on him. And you were saying how the purpose stuff is huge, hey, because, I mean, you're in school and a lot of people are wondering what they're doing with their life, what yeah. they're supposed to do. But you feel like you have some sort of a purpose and a vision, right?
Yeah.
Getting there.
I'd say so.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very, very obvious when you're a teenager, when there's teachers asking you what you're about to do with your life. Yeah. But I think, I don't know if everybody outgrows that. I've chatted with 30-year-olds that still don't know what they're doing with their life or have hit some sort of quarter-life crisis where they're like, I don't even know what's going on right now. I don't know who I am or where I'm going. And I think this purpose stuff is hugely important, no matter what age you are.
Yeah, I think what also helps too is just like the community and the church and having the other people, not just my parents, I guess, just like putting that vision or just like encouraging you. But yeah, it's just, I think community just plays a really big part.
It's a huge part. So good. That's so good. You're like dropping like truth bombs. I know, right? How do you work with God? You stay in community. Yep. It's as simple as that. Uncomplicated. It's really simple. I love it. So good. What about you, Manza? What does walking with God look like for you?
Yeah, I love what Drew said, purpose. I always make a joke, if you walk with purpose, you could like get into anywhere. So whenever
it's
there's
true.
like a line or something, no, well, like, well, Pastor Greg, it's okay. but like, you know, I don't know if you need to get in past the line, if there's like a big lineup or something and you just like your friends are already in there. If you just walk with purpose, they just don't question
it's so
you.
True.
They don't question
I'm just waiting for somebody in there.
Just like walk with purpose. So I always joke about that, but it's so true. But I think for me, it's important to be reverent of God and fear God. But I think it's also important to see God as a father and to see Jesus as a friend. I think like we were designed to be in relationship with God first and with each other. And so if you're unsure of what it looks like to walk with God, look around at your relationships, your close friendships, your healthy ones. And that's often what God desires too, is to have that two-way conversation where you go to him when you need help or when you just need someone to talk to or just tell you you're awesome. And Jesus just is like your best friend. Like he is going to, you know, not let you sit in your sorrows, but he's going to comfort you and bring you peace as well.
So good. Yeah, you were saying not going to God with like a checklist or something, but a relationship.
Yeah, he wants a relationship for sure.
That's awesome. And Pastor Greg, what does walking with Jesus look like for you?
Well, firstly, I'm blown away by Amanda. She just budges lines, apparently. So, like, at the stoop party, watch out, guys. If you're waiting in line for food, she's just going to walk with purpose right
in
the front.
No, Amanda, you don't need food before me.
Oh. For me, a walk with God, to me, it's in every little decision.
Yeah.
Like the Bible says, as you're faithful with the little, God will make you ruler over much. And
that's
I feel
good.
Like... That's in every decision. So my walk with God is in my decision not to use foul language at work. And my walk with God is in my decision to wake up to pray. And my walk with God is in my decision to treat my wife a certain way. And all of these things. And I stuff up at it all the time, just for the record. So I'm thankful that God's graceful and he's like, lets me keep going. But it's every decision that I make is in my walk with God. I get to choose, am I going to make the decision that brings God glory or am I going to make the decision that brings Greg glory? And
so
it's like,
good.
It's a tough decision regularly.
Yeah, that's amazing. Does it bring Greg glory or does it bring God glory? I love that. That's so good. So the last question then, which I want each of you to just touch on briefly, is we've talked about how to journey with God and different kind of tangible ways. But I just want to ask the question of why. Why would you put God first? Why would you improve your prayer life or read your Bible? Why? Why do you do all this stuff, the three of you? What is it? How does it benefit you?
I mean, for me, I look at every area of my life that's been changed and transformed since I've made a decision to put God first in everything. I think about a time, or I even think about seasons where I'm not walking with God and I'm not like on point in my relationship, and I see the struggle and I see the frustration and I see like the battles that I face. And then I realize, like, when I'm partnering with God on the daily, when I'm walking with Him on the daily, it's not like it makes things easier, but it just makes things better. I feel like there's, like, a skip in my step. I'm able to, like, be more joyful. I'm able to invest more in people. And He, like, multiplies the hours in the day to give me more capacity. It's, like,
That's so good.
So it's really just selfish. No, I'm kidding.
But I love that. It doesn't make life easier, but it makes it better. I like that. We can think that it's meant to be easier, but it's not. It's just better. What about you, Drew? Why do you do it?
I don't know. I grew up a Christian, so I guess with everyone giving you vision and like encouragement, or whatever, knowing what God's call is for you, I guess that's what His call on me is, what drives me to keep on going, to keep that relationship with God, and just knowing what He has for you. And
yeah, you do it because you have purpose.
And purpose doing everything in every step.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if you don't feel like you have that purpose, like we said before, getting into God, you'll learn what it is. And then when you have that, it's such a good drive for you to, you just feel like you can conquer the world with Jesus because you know what you're called to do. I love that. What about you, Amanda? Why? Why do you do what you do?
Yeah, I think it's a decision. And like every day, because we all have busy lives and crazy work schedules. And I work a 9-to-5 on top of this as well. And I think it's comes to a point where, okay, I now am pretty confident in my relationship with God, and it's secure, and I'm continuing to grow it, and I'm not so much questioning the basics or anything like that anymore. So it's become greater, and I've had recently a greater revelation on eternity. So I do it because of eternity. It's not my own eternity,
so good,
because someone's fought for that already, and it's sealed,
yeah,
but for other people's. So I think
yeah,
every decision,
yeah,
well, yeah, it's true, because every decision that you make influences someone.
Yeah.
I once read a statistic, but I'm not going to remember it, but it said about how many people you actually influence in your life. And it is like shocking, like it terrified me. And so it's just every decision, whether it's like watching your language, whether it's calling an early night, whether it's, you know, watching who you hang out with, it doesn't mean they're easy decisions. Waking up in the morning, that is not easy.
Right.
But when you attach eternity to it, you then become compelled.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be compelled by the gospel of God, to advance the gospel.
So good.
It shifts your perspective off of you and onto fighting for someone else.
Yeah, I love that. So you don't meet Jesus, go and camp out in the woods somewhere and just spend the rest of your life with Him.
No.
You're now fighting for other people to receive what you've received.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's what it's all about. If you guys, if you need some help with any of this stuff, these guys are incredibly wise and are here for you. And we have so many other great wise people in this church as well that, like, we just do this as a family. We do this as a community. And so you're welcome to talk about this stuff. Hopefully this panel helped you understand that we're not perfect and we just want to talk through it so that we can all journey with Jesus a little bit better. So why